It is a drive. Welcome in. Final hour. Dave, Katie, and Nate. Everyone in studio. And I believe Katie said earlier, you're not leaving till middle of the month.
Yeah, but then I'm not going to be here for like 3 weeks something stupid.
Dang. And then we join you on the road in Houston for Super Bowl coverage brought to you, of course, by Jiffy Lube. Greg Papa will join us in minutes. We'll talk about the Raiders. Ken Rudolph at the bottom of the hour with today's news. Stormwatch 2017. So the Raiders and Texans will play this weekend.
Yeah.
Now, ESPN has a deal with the NFL where they pay $1.9
Which is probably the worst deal ever signed in the history of televised sports.
Well, it's $1.9 billion that it pays for Monday Night Football, which, by the way, just hit the lowest ratings in nearly a decade and narrowly avoided becoming the worst-rated package of games in over 40 years of Monday Night Football. But as
this wild card game deal that they have, though, is completely separate.
Literally what I'm trying to talk about here. So ESPN is paying.
I piss you off.
Is paying $100 million as a separate deal just to air this wild card game. They're paying $100 million to the NFL to televise the Raiders and Texans. Now, every other network that carries the NFL, they have the playoff games or the Super Bowl, which, as you know, rotates between NBC, CBS, and Fox every 3 years. That's included in their yearly rights fee. ESPN pays an extra $100 million for one wildcard game. But wait, it gets worse. ESPN can only make somewhere around $25 million max airing this game between Connor Cook and Brock Osweiler, whoever the hell. So they're going to guaranteed lose $75 million televising this game. Here's the best part. It's also simulcast for free on ABC. So you don't even need to have cable. They get no benefit, ESPN does, whatsoever for airing this game exclusively on cable because it's simulcast live on ABC, which is part of Disney, just like ESPN. And the NFL, they assigned ESPN the crappiest wild card game in the worst time slot on the worst day, and then they decide whether or not they want to take the $100 million. So ESPN doesn't even get to choose whether it wants to air the game or not as part of the deal. The NFL just says, hey, you're airing it. Give us $100 million. Brock Osweiler got $37 million guaranteed. ESPN is going to lose $75 million just airing this game this weekend. So.
It's good to be. It's a good chunk.
It's good to be the National Football League, and it's always good to be Greg Papa. Greg, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. How are you?
Well, I would say, you know, happy holidays, happy New Year, and all that. But boy, the holidays suck this year. Derek on Christmas Eve, and then I don't know what that was on New Year's Day. So the Raiders are going to play their first playoff game in 14 years. We should be so excited. But it doesn't feel the same. The whole thing is just feels different. And, you know, had they been able to win that game in Denver, they would have missed this wild card round. They would have more than likely, if Pittsburgh beats Miami, they would have hosted the Pittsburgh Steelers on Saturday night, January the 14th. It would have been the East Coast late game, 8:30, 5:30 here, the primetime playoff spot. And as you're saying, now we get relegated to the worst spot. Although we love John Gruden and Sean McDonough, my college roommate. That early spot on Saturday that ABC and ESPN is going to have is the least desirable. Not that we care about network TV, but just the overall vibe of this thing has just completely changed with the injury to Derek and how shabbily they played on New Year's Day in Denver.
Now, Greg, there was a part of me that wants to think that, okay, you know, with the injury happening to Carr, following it up the next week by what was, you know, obviously their worst performance of the year, that they were still maybe a little bit stunned by what happened to Derek. Should we expect something different, regardless of, you know, the fact that you've got a third-string rookie quarterback that's getting his first start in a playoff game? Will it be different just because now they've face the fact that they're without Carr and they're settling in a little bit to what they've got to face with Connor Cook?
Well, I mean, there's different components to the team. I think what's really alarming and disappointing, most disappointing about Sunday in Denver was just how badly they played on defense and the missed tackles. They had not been missing tackles. It's not a great defense. But they've been overcoming their limitations by getting the guy down in the open space. The first series of the game, David Amerson missed three tackles. And then he grabs a face mask, could have got off the field on third down. So the defense, you would think they would have really been on top of their game, knowing that we're probably not going to get into the high 20s here. If we get into the low 20s, that may be it. You know, we're going to have to control the game. But they're just not built that way. They just played a poor game. They have too many holes in the defense. So the offense then needs to pick it up. And just not having the balance and the complete threat of the pass game. And Derek is just so brilliant. For a young player, his mind is, I'm not going to say it's Peyton Manning and Tom Brady yet, but he plays a numbers game. The Indianapolis game, go back in your mind to that game before he got hurt, how well they were playing, how well they were running the ball with the pistol shotgun runs, back-to-back DeAndre Washington, 22-yard touchdown. I was thinking, wow, maybe they can beat Pittsburgh. Maybe they can go into New England and beat Brady and Belichick. And then he gets hurt, and you lose not only the threat of him throwing the ball, his brilliance in the running game and the balance. I think the big thing is they loaded up the box to shut down the Raider running game and said, well, Matt McGloin, go back and make a play, and he couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. So, and then Connor Cook came in and looked good, but it's just, he doesn't have the synchronicity, if I want to, bring out an old Police album with the passing game. They don't, you just see that Amari and Michael, especially with Matt, they're just off. These guys don't get the reps. You're just throwing them in, on opening night on Broadway, and you haven't had the choreography together, and you're just off. So to your point, maybe a little more time, they can get a little better. But this takes not just weeks and days. It takes months and years for some teams to. That's why Peyton was so good with Harrison and Wayne, and they worked together years. They just had a little wink, and they knew, move here, move there, outside coverage. It's just so it's hard. You're never going to be able to get all that. But I was just disappointed with the effort level. I think a lot of the guys were sick. The flu was going around the team quite a bit. I know the coaches had quite a few of them, and there were a lot of surgical masks flying back from Denver, kind of like open-heart surgery on a team. So maybe all those factors, maybe they can just press reset and play. And this is not, as you were saying, Osweiler is not a great player. This is a flawed Houston team on their offensive side as well. They got a very good defense. So you got to press reset and just go play. The Denver game is what it is. It's over. You didn't win the division. You got to go. It's a playoff game. They haven't played one of these in a decade and a half. So I hope they bring it to the level you need to bring it to win this game on Saturday.
I mean, Greg, you kind of said it. This Houston team is flawed, and I'm trying to look for silver linings here, but sometimes, when there's not a book on a guy like a Connor Cook, that can be just enough. And what I'm wondering is if Connor Cook has the talent to catch a team like Houston off guard in a one-week scenario like that.
He has the talent to make plays. I think, he looks the part. He's 6'4", 217 pounds. He was a 3-year starter at Michigan State. That's a heck of a good conference, the Big Ten. He went 34-5. He beat Jim Harbaugh's last year. So he's capable. He looks the part. There's no question. He's come so far. First time I laid my eyes on him, I thought, who is this guy? I mean, he was bouncing throws. He was highly inaccurate. He was late on throws, wobbling balls throughout the offseason into the training camp. You thought, whoa, what is the deal here? But then he got better, and when the preseason game started, he played better. He made some mistakes, but he looks the part. The ball comes out of his hand nice, and the touchdown pass he threw New Year's Day in Denver to Amari Cooper was a fabulous play. The play-action fake, the movement required on the footwork on that play, come back to your left side, hit him on a corner route. It was great. But then, he floats the ball down the middle of the field badly on a seam route. He does not keep the ball into his body as the pressure is getting around to him, and they punch it out. They strip sack, and you lose the ball. He's going to make some plays, I think. This is a good Houston defense. Their secondary, I don't think it's quite as good as Denver's, but they got three good cover corners. Clowney is a monster, merciless. You got to deal with Will Fork. I think they'll try to go at him. There's some linebackers you can attack as far as coverage. But the biggest thing I'm worried about is Romeo Crennel, their defensive coordinator. He's been doing this forever. He's won a lot of Super Bowls with Bill Belichick and the Giants, and he's been doing this forever, before Connor was born. So he's when he's got a guy, young guy, that's a little deer in the headlights, he's going to go at him. He's going to give you sometimes he rushes 3, drop 8. Hell, sometimes he rushes 1, drops 10. Sometimes he brings 7, and they're overloaded. And Clowney's walking around. You don't know where he's coming from, so this Connor's got the ability. I just don't know if he has the mentality. It's impossible. I mean, it hasn't been downloaded into his brain enough. So it's going to be a hard challenge. You know, just, guys around him have got to play better. Offensive line's got to dominate the game. The running game's got to dominate the game. I don't care if they got 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15 guys in the box. You got to run it at them. You got to take the pressure off of this young quarterback. That's the most disarming thing from New Year's Day is the guys did not play well around the quarterback position, and the quarterback position's on the spotlight with this injury with Derek.
Greg Papa joining us, brought to you by Jiffy Lube, our Raiders insider, on the call, of course, this weekend against the Texans. Greg, we were talking about this earlier, just to wrap up that point. Defense steps up, running game steps up. Is it a silly distraction for Raiders fans to think that Connor Cook could make a little bit of noise in these playoffs?
No, he could. I don't know. You know, let's just get through this game.
Yeah.
If you win this game, you may have to go to New England. So this is going to be a challenge. This is going to be a hard game. I go back to the game against Houston and Mexico City. Derek and the first team offense was strangled. They had nothing. They had 120 yards going to the fourth quarter. Clowney was just a monster. They could not block him. He was ruining the running game. So you got to have a plan to block him. The quarterback gets all the accolades and the attention and you know, the money and the girls, and but they got to play well around him. They've got. This is on Kelechi Osemele. I think Kelechi. They don't talk a lot about him because you don't know who he is. I think he's the best player on this team, the left guard. I want him. He needs to kick ass. He did not play well in Denver. I don't know if he's fully over the kidney stones or what the deal is, but Kelechi has got to. He's got to take Clowney, and they're gonna. Sometimes they move Clowney inside over him. The guys around him have got to give him the platform. You know, Derek had a great year, but they did not get close to Derek Carr this year. He gets the ball out of his hands fast. This was one thing. But they had an interesting stat on the broadcast, the distance between defenders to the quarterback. And they come up with these new next-gen stats, which are always intriguing. And it's the greatest. Derek had the greatest pocket. Basically, he was the least pressured as far as players and defenders in his face. So when you got a nice big pocket, Connor Cook's a big guy. He's 6'4". He's not like Matt McGloin, who's under 6", where it's hard for him to see around the rush. Connor can see it. So if you give him a clean pocket, there's clever play design from Bill Musgrave, and I know he'll give it to you, and you get easy pitch and catches, he can do it. You know, but if you take away his first read and he's got to hold it, I was impressed the way he went through his progressions on that two-point conversion. They took Seth Roberts away on the little drag route on the goal line, and he came back to Amari over the middle. They swatted it away, but that was pretty good. I was like, wow, this guy's going through his reads here. I've seen quarterbacks play for years that don't have that kind of mind to process the defense. So he's capable, but this is the NFL. It's a playoff game. This has never been done in the modern era where you're asking a rookie to start a playoff game, and you got to do it on a road in a dome against Romeo Crennel. So he'll be fine, but they're going to have to play well around him.
So, Greg, we were talking about this earlier. Let's go Disney movie for a second because I loved asking you the stupid questions. Connor Cook comes in.
And you're very good at it.
I am very good. I may be one of the best, Greg.
You're the best stupid question asker I've ever had.
See, Matt, that's a promo. So here's what we do. Connor Cook comes in. Team rallies around him. He turns out to be the second coming of Dak Prescott plus +2. Leads him to the Super Bowl. They win. They're Super Bowl champions.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, I'm just asking you, is there a quarterback controversy this summer?
Oh, come on.
I'm just asking. He led them to the Super Bowl.
You're going from
I'll ask you a real question.
I just hope he has his chin strapped tight. You want him to win the Super Bowl.
Okay, when it happens, then we're going to revisit
this.
Okay,
if that happens, yes. I'll have this discussion with you on, February the 6th, the day after the Super Bowl. Right now, that is light years away. That is a long way to go. What do you want? Get rid of Derek Carr?
I'm just saying if he...
Niners could use him.
The weirdest world. Yeah, the Texans could use him. If this happens and he leads him to the Super Bowl, Connor Cook, your Super Bowl MVP, is going to Disneyland. What are you just going to trade him?
I'm going to trade him the next day after the Super Bowl. I mean, that may be the stupidest question.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's the kind of question you get on Media Day Tuesday of the Super Bowl.
That's right. First take, baby. Right
well,
here.
Greg, I'm gonna save you.
Garoppolo's way better than you. Why the hell do you play in this game? I mean, come on.
I'll ask you a real question since Dave has just set the bar extremely low.
I said it was stupid.
But I'm curious, you know, it is kind of risky in my mind to start a rookie quarterback in a situation like this. And yes, Matt McGloin had the injury to the shoulder, but then I also, you know, read him talking about, hey, I want to play. I'm going to do everything I can to play. If he is available and healthy, do you still go with Connor Cook in this situation?
Well, I don't know. I was really disappointed in Matt's performance. I know Matt. We're friends. I've hung out with him. He's a good guy. He's a feisty guy. I thought he played really well. When they drafted Derek Carr, I was of the impression, don't overreach for a quarterback. Matt can do it. You know, you got to build the whole team around him, like kind of like what the Seahawks did with Russell Wilson. The last piece was the quarterback. So, you know, Matt can hold this down for a while. He went 1-5. He went into Houston his first year and won that first game through 3 touchdown passes. I always believed in him. But he just hasn't gotten reps. I watched him warm up before the game, as I do every game closely, the Raiders and more so the opponents, to get a feel for them. And I'm watching him just, this is way out before the game, hours before the game. Not even when the guys have helmets and shoulder pads on when they're warming up pregame. This is, you know, early when they're in, you know, stocking caps and shorts. And he's out there throwing with the receivers, and he's doing fine. And then he throws a deep dig, which is like an 18-yard in-cut to Seth Roberts. And he threw it really low, almost bounced it. Seth had to go way down to get it. And he made a bad throw in pregame. No big deal. And then he just, I mean, he dropped an F-bomb. It was like, chill out. What are you so amped about? And then a couple of throws later, they were throwing go routes to the back of the end zone. And he overthrew Andre Holmes. And Andre didn't quite go get it enough. And he throws his hands up in the air. And he's all mad. I'm thinking, whoa. I was going to go over and wish him luck. Now I'm just, you know, going to get him a shot glass. So I thought he's just a little, it surprised me that he was a little overly amped. And then I saw him right before kickoff. He's smiling. He looked loose. And I thought he can do this. And then the biggest problem was they fell behind 7-0 before he said hike. And going into Denver, it's so loud. And Von Miller is just, God, is he a good player. In every regard, he's so fast and powerful. He's a hell of a player, and you got to deal with him when you're in 3rd and 5s and longer all day. But where, you know, he obviously missed some throws. But where I got a little, I lost my confidence in him, not completely, but I began to think, wow, it's just hard not to play all these years than go play in Denver,
right?
In a game where you win the AFC West, you lose, and you're not. That when they got to 3rd and 8, that one, or 2nd and 8, that one situation, and he took the delay of game. And I didn't really know why. I watched it back, and it seemed like the play call was in, and he just held him at the line too long. Like he was, you know, looking at their front, and it just wasn't coming to him instinctively. And that's where the game to me got unraveled. Now you're, you know, 2nd and 13, and they had 2 plays in a row where they barely got the playoff. One time he checked because he saw a blitz, and he threw a go route down the sideline to Crabtree against Tlaib, and Tlaib grabbed Michael's necklace. But he just started to press. He started to miss throws. He doesn't miss. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. You know, going into this whole deal, I would never have said start trying to cook in a playoff game. Are you crazy? But they may not have any other choice, whether Matt is completely healthy. And the other part of it is Matt may be healthy later in the week, but if he's not healthy right now, getting the game plan, executing the game plan, and just getting on the practice field. You know, we had a talk on my radio show yesterday that you may even want to shoot him up with a painkiller to practice, which is kind of out there in the NFL. You don't do that. You do that to play games. You don't want to be, you know, taking this medication unless you have to. But the point is he just needs the reps with his receivers. So to throw him into a playoff game if he hasn't been able to practice all week is kind of why the Texans are going with Osweiler in this game, although, you know, they got $72 million on this guy, and the owner hand-picked him. So if you don't play him and you lose, you know, the owner's not going to be happy. But just the fact that he doesn't get the reps all week. But I'm with you. I mean, I think if they're completely – if he's healthy and this injury never occurred, I think Matt's capable of doing it. And I worry about Connor just being a neophyte going into Romeo Crennel's house. It's going to be hard, but – Matt really did not play well, and I think the bottom line is he's not completely healthy right now, which means he can't prepare to play on Saturday and get in harmony with his wide receivers.
Greg Popp, a voice of the Raiders, with us on the drive. So here we are, one game deep into the non-Derek Carr era of this season. A lot of the issues that popped up against Denver, Greg, whether it's the lousy defense or dumb penalties or dropped passes, those have been issues all year. And we know that Derek has been phenomenal, but were you surprised at how big the drop-off was when he got hurt and how just nobody seemed to step up on Sunday?
I was shocked. I mean, this was such a big game. It is just such a big deal in the NFL to win your division. The way they structure it is that, you know, you go right on to the second round. You don't have to go on the road and win a wild card game. It's huge. And then in the Raiders' case, with the second round, they'd have a home game. So just light years difference. I was shocked that they didn't play better, and specifically on defense. I think the guys, there's guys they've paid. David Amerson, they gave money to, which I thought was premature. I thought, let's just watch him a little bit here before we start paying the guy. He was terrible. He's been a good player for the Raiders this year. His first series, I don't want to say it screwed up the game, but it didn't start it well. He had a terrible first series. Sean Smith was getting picked on. He got ragdolled on that screen play. I mean, you allow them to go on a 3rd-and-18 screen where they're just checking out the back to get back into field goal range, and you just don't fit it well at all, and you don't get off blocks. And nobody laid a finger on Booker. They didn't touch him. Justin Forsett's run, they were not lined up right. They didn't have the defense set for the snap. Now, some of it was Keith McGill just came into the game and he had an injury. You lost Carl Joseph. You lose Nate Allen with a concussion. He gets kicked in the head by his own teammate. And you bring in McGill, who hasn't played in weeks. And it's just one guy can screw it up. And he missed a tackle. He got trucked on one play. So, yeah, I thought, again, go back. Just close your eyes and go back to right before Derek got hurt. How good were they? How good were they against the Colts? And it wasn't all Derek. They were running right at, and Indy's not a great run defense. They're light. They're built light. But how good were they playing? Andrew Luck had 7 points. We're mid-third quarter. The great Andrew Luck has 7. So, I don't know. I mean, one guy can't pull it all down. I mean, I don't think it's the question where they were shaking and upset that they lost Derek. I think they just didn't play well, whether there was illness going through the locker room or whatever. They just played awful. But they can't do that anymore. I think you'll see a whole different mindset in this game. They're going to come out, you know, this is it. You lose, you're done. So they're going to come out with the proper level of ferocity. But they still got limitations, and you got smart guys on the other side and tough defense and great corners and Clowney. And now you got to go win a game on the road in the playoffs, which is the situation you put yourself in.
Last question for Greg Popp, and we got 1 minute left here, Greg, but I've been waiting all interview to ask you this here. This is the big question.
And you wasted the stupid one?
No. Okay. So as the voice of the Raiders, I'm assuming you probably get a pair of tickets allotted at each game. And let's just say you have a friend who asks you for your tickets to the Broncos game, and you find out after the friend asks you that he's bringing his wife, who is a diehard Broncos fan, and she will be wearing her pick a Bronco jersey to the game. Do you yank those tickets from your friend
before the game starts?
Before, yeah. Well, you've got like, let's say it's a week away.
I would have made it clear. You're asking a question that goes back decades.
Yep.
I would have made it clear to them that they cannot wear any orange in that, because they're going to sit in the Raiders section. First of all, this goes back, and I've been doing this for years, and people are appalled by it. They're like, you know, they're fans of the other team, and they ask for tickets for a game, then they show up wearing that team, and they're like, why can't I do that? I go, well, what do you think these people do all week? This is what they do. I'll tell you a story. Years ago, we're in Buffalo, where I'm from, my hometown. And in the old days, we used to have parabolic microphones, they used to call them, those big, like many satellite dishes,
right,
mics. And I got my brother to hold the parabolic microphone on the sideline at the Bills game. So he gets in the booth with me, and he looks like Ralph Wilson. He's wearing a Bills hat, a Bills slicker, the owner of the Bills. I'm like, what are you wearing? You can't go on the sideline.
Right.
There was a story years ago where, you know, when Al Davis was alive, they were playing the Jets, and somebody wore a green jacket on the Raiders sideline during a Jet game, and he went crazy.
That's right.
I was like, you cannot go on the Raiders sideline and wear a Buffalo Bills hat and coat. And he's looking at me like, what? I'm like, what if I did, you know, you in his business, if I wore the competitor's hat into one of your staff meetings, how would that go? So it's just people don't get it. So, yes, your last question about this, the Disney movie, that was really dumb.
Okay.
This one's good.
Okay.
Exactly. Pull those.
Can't
connect them.
Thank you, because Katie, the sideline reporter, gave a pair of her tickets to her friend who's bringing his wife, who is going to wear her Steph Curry jersey this
Which
Sunday
against
the Warriors.
Which I did not know before time, and I'm not pulling tickets.
This is Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Katie, that's fine. Come on. The kids fans love Steph Curry.
Oh, jeez.
I'd wear a Steph Curry and a Seth Curry. I'm going to let him go. I think one day Seth Curry's going to be a Warrior.
Yeah,
he might be.
That's a different deal. That's America's favorite.
Yes.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank
I
you so much.
It.
We'll talk to you next week. Good luck this weekend.
Hopefully there will be a next week. Yes.
Right. Take care. Thanks. That's Greg Papa. We'll take a break. Was just informed that we are once again dealing with tech issues with Ken Rudolph.
It must be this horrible storm.
I think it is. Stormwatch 2017. Hey, that's fine. What do you know? Free segment. What say we revisit what we spoke about earlier today? And we'll also take your Bear Co. moment of the game call. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Just tell us what the Bear Co. moment of the game was yesterday. And you are going to win a Barrico Redwood gift certificate and a King's prize pack. We've also got Jim Rome passes in just a few minutes as well. A big half hour. Don't go away as we talk about why Katie should take her tickets back for this Sunday's
You're
game
lame.
Against the Warriors next. It's a Drive Sports 1140 KHDK. Barrico moment of the game, 339-1140. Last chance. Jim Rome tickets coming up in about 10 minutes for you to see him broadcast his show live right here in KHTK Studio Central Friday.
I'm going to have a talk with him.
Yeah, you should.
I am.
Well, let's have a talk with you real quick for those who weren't tuned in at 6 a.m. Here's the dilemma.
For the entire 6 o'clock hour.
Well, it's important. So Katie, as sideline reporter for the Kings, gets two tickets to every single game. And she has a friend.
It's part of my contract.
Yeah.
They don't pay me in cash.
They pay you in tickets,
which I give away to people on Twitter.
Yes, you do. You're very, in all seriousness, you're very generous with your tickets. So she was asked by a friend of hers.
A very attractive friend of hers.
If he could.
And intelligent, I'm sure.
If he could he's okay. If he could have her tickets to this weekend's Warriors game. And she said yes. And it turns out he was getting them as a gift to his wife, who is a Warriors fan, and she will be wearing the brand new Steph Curry jersey that she got for Christmas to the Kings game.
Now, I wonder how long she's been a Warriors fan.
Do you know what, Katie? That's an excellent question, sideline reporter Katie Christensen. I don't know if we know the answer.
From what I know, it tied in pretty closely with Klay Thompson lighting him up for 37 points and being like, hey, you know what? This is a little bit better brand of basketball.
So painful.
Bandwagonaire.
Sure, man.
Bandwagonaire. Okay.
From what you know.
So, first off.
Can't wait to see you at the game on Sunday night.
I believe, along with 331, well, not quite, about 240 other people, 331 votes in on the poll we put out today, 79% agree with me and say that Katie should yank her tickets back.
Your followers.
Well, trust me when I say my Twitter followers far from always agree with anything I say.
So far on the show today, we've asked both of our guests,
yes,
Brian Jones and the 630,
yes,
and Greg Papa.
Yes.
They gave us two different answers.
Brian Jones, who's not very
smart.
Look,
Mama, where was she wants?
Yeah, and obviously that's an IQ issue with Brian Jones on
that.
Yes. Greg Papa, who is almost professorial in his answer, was correct. I don't know that you yank the tickets. I think what you do is you say, "Hey, listen, she can root for that. She can't wear her Curry jersey in my seats."
What if I said she can come to the game wearing her Curry jersey, as long as she wears a King's hat or makes
a sign in support for the Kings? No.
Like, should we double up on it? Like, does it cancel it out?
I saw a kid, and I mentioned this at 6 a.m.
Here's the thing.
Last week at the game, at the Memphis game,
yeah, I know,
the kid was wearing, about 12 years old, he was wearing a brand new Warriors jacket and a King's hat.
Probably cost like $150.
It probably did. And I wanted to just grab it. It's not the kid's fault. I wanted to grab the father by the scruff of the neck and just say, dude, do you understand what you're doing to your child? You're a bad parent.
You're giving them the freedom of choice.
No, you're not. You're allowing them to choose poor. Well, you know what, Nate? By that logic, when I get home, I'm going to take my 8-year-old son and my 9-year-old daughter, and I'm going to say, kids, come here to the table. Here's some cocaine, some heroin, and some marijuana.
Oh, you just choose. You do the most with things.
Choose, kid. Your kids are not supposed to have freedom of choice. Your kids are supposed to choose whatever you choose for them.
Where are your seats for tonight's game?
I'm not. Tonight's game?
Sunday.
Sunday's game. I'm being dragged to the freaking game.
I'm being dragged to the game. I'm sure a lot of our listeners that haven't been to a game yet feel really bad for you.
Plenty of other. Trust me. 39 other games you can go to, 37 games you can go to that are not Laker or Warrior games.
You look at it this way, though. My friend kind of deserves it if you consider who her husband is. She deserves it.
Well, yeah, he's a douchebag. We know this, but he's your friend.
I'm just trying to point out that, like, you're just going full Kaepernick on this. Like, people are like, you're making good points, and people are just starting to listen to what you have to say, and they're finding out you don't vote.
Let's bring that forward. So, what would be you're saying? Because I want to make sure
I
understand.
You don't even want to attend this game.
No.
So, what you need to be
doing. I don't
want to
be surrounded by stinky Warrior fans.
Is focusing on offsetting those stinky Warrior fans with your own stinky fandom.
When I go to the game on Sunday, against my wishes, I will be decked out in Kings gear. And if it was
wear your media badge.
If it was up, you damn right I'll wear my media badge. I don't care. Now, here's the thing. What they should do is adopt soccer rules. And you brought this up in the break, Nate. No opposing jerseys. You're not allowed to. You get a visitor's section. That's
where you have a section.
You have a section, and you can't wear your team's jersey.
That's where the road team sits.
Sorry. You can cheer. Can't wear the colors. Sorry.
Now, I also see them like to institute a lot of things, like the fact that they have very strict ticket pricing regulations as part of UEFA, where there are caps on those things so that, you know, you can't turn around and sell your Warriors tickets for three times as much. You know, things like that.
Now,
so,
I want to be very careful because I do
giving
not.
Giving my tickets away.
Yeah, I don't blame. I want to make sure that there's a lot of season ticket holders listening right now. I may not like it, but I fully understand. And I'm certainly not going to tell a season ticket holder what they can and can't do with their seat or what type of a fan they are. If a season ticket holder is able to make a ton of money off of selling their tickets to Lakers and Warriors fans, it may be a little like, but I get that. I really do get the logic behind that. I understand it. The demand. Demand is there. And I don't fault Warrior fans, and I don't fault Laker fans. They're supporting their team. I get that. But if you are freely giving tickets to somebody as a favor, and they're bringing somebody, much like the Maloofs had Laker fans in their seats many years ago, damn it, here's a text.
Gotta win games, man.
Why do I feel like Dave's wife is the friend with the Warriors gear? Listen.
It's not.
That ain't happening.
However, I can understand how you would come to that conclusion.
How can you understand that? We haven't even talked about your friend,
just,
by the way.
Just because of the things we've said, that I feel bad that she's married to the man that she's married to.
Okay, gotcha.
And you admitting that this person is a douche.
We haven't even gotten to the point where your douchey friend is okay with his wife being a Warriors fan.
He got her
because he's a diehard Kings fan.
What's he supposed to say?
No. He's supposed to say no. There are things in this marriage that are okay and are not okay. You don't want me to, I don't know, for example, have sex with hookers. I do not want you to be a Warriors
fan.
It's
a family show, Dave.
It's a give or take. I'm trying to underline the importance of how wrong this is.
We've talked about hookers and, what was it, heroin and cocaine?
Are we not?
Your brain is messed up.
Are we not all in agreement that these are all bad things? Maybe not all of them, but most. It's a public service announcement.
There are better hills to die on. You're married. You know that.
And again, somebody's texting on that. I understand the selling of the I get that. This is not about that. This is about somebody hoodwinking Katie into unknowingly giving her tickets away, which one of those seats is going to be in a Warriors jersey.
Even if I had known before I said yes, I still would have done it anyway.
Did your friend take advantage of you, Katie?
Yes. No. We got a break. We're taking advantage of Matt George here. We'll come back. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We'll give away these Jim Rome passes for Friday, and we'll tell you who the Bearco moment of the game winner was as we finish up on the drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. Congratulations to Kim in Roseville. You've got yourself a Bearco Redwood gift certificate and a Sacramento Kings prize pack. 339-1140 right now. 11th caller will get tickets to see Jim Rome do his show live. The Jungle comes to Madison Avenue.
Yeah, and you're going to see a showdown in the jungle because I have an issue with Mr. Rome.
Oh, boy, here we go. It's on. Boy versus girl. World Series of Hate. Katie versus Jim Rome.
And I hate it, too.
I hate it, Katie.
Yeah. Because he is a fellow gaucho.
No.
That's true.
Oh, that's right.
He is. We have something in common.
You got to lead off with that before you take him to the mat.
Before I take him to the mat.
Jason, did you go to University of Santa Barbara?
No.
Okay.
No, I have a life.
All right, then you go ahead. Bam, love it. Jason, yes.
I just wanted to say, it sounds like Katie's douchey friend is probably newly married, so he doesn't know how to tell his wife no yet.
I agree with you. I don't know if that's true or not, but you're damn straight right, Jason.
Newly
you know, there's
married.
Things you choose in a marriage. Now, Katie, you helped me with this. You said...
I had a solution
outside. And please say what it was.
I was like, you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to get him a t-shirt
Let me just people come in and out. Katie is giving her tickets to a friend of hers, a mutual friend of all of ours.
Yeah.
And his wife is a Warriors fan, and she's wearing a Steph Curry jersey in Katie's seats this Sunday.
Yes.
That's what I'm
Which
freaking
I don't
out
have
about.
A problem
I have a
about.
Huge problem
you
with
do.
It. So, your
so I'm
solution.
Like, here's the solution. We get a Kings t-shirt that has a big Kings logo on it. And then we put one of those things below that says, I'm with stupid.
Uh-huh.
And then the finger pointing to, you know.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah
the wife will go for that.
And that sparked something for you.
Now, because the wife would never go for that. And he obviously has absolutely no gonads whatsoever, or else she would be wearing a Cousins jersey or something. Here's what I think is actually the perfect solution. If he wants to hoodwink you into giving up your tickets and you aren't even hoodwinked because you're not the victim here because you're knowingly doing it. You're knowingly committing a sports felony here.
Okay, I didn't know when I said.
But you know now. You could still yank the tickets.
I'm not doing
that. Haven't given the tickets. Of course not. So here's the solution. You don't give him the sign to wear. What you do is you tell him that they can go and she can wear her Curry jersey on one condition, and that is that he, too, has to wear a Curry jersey.
Okay.
And he of course, is a diehard Kings fan. So you force him to have to be
a Warriors fan.
You act like that's like a big thing. Like you brought this up to Greg Papa and he flipped out, which makes sense because the reason you don't wear opposing team's colors to a Raiders game is out of self-preservation.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about that crap at a Kings game.
I mean, and that's true.
Was sign lady going to beat you with one of her signs? I don't think so.
That would be phenomenal. That would be the greatest thing, honestly, in Kings history. She makes a sign.
Sign lady arrested for assault of a Warriors fan.
Exactly. Wear the Steph Curry. Better leave in a hurry. Bam, 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 bam. Glitter all over the place. You know, the thing is honestly, I thought that was a perfect solution, but now I think about it, I think the front. If I know this guy well enough, and I don't know him too well, but if I know him well enough, he'd be like, well, I'll wear the jersey. I don't care. It's just laundry, bro. It's just laundry. I don't care. I'm rooting for laundry, bro.
Hey, this is all a lot like, you know, when you see someone hit a bad shot on a golf course and they flip out. And you know that, like, they're not really flipping out because they're mad at themselves. They're flipping out because they want to show everyone else that they're mad.
You're taking a shot at me.
Yeah. And so what I'm saying is that, like, if you want to be mad about something, be mad about the team fact that your team isn't good
am.
Enough.
I'm mad at that. Of course I'm
He's
mad at
torn
that.
Torn up over
people,
it.
Like, let's just take this as a given that all of these people that show up to Sunday's game in Warriors jersey, they're all bandwagoned, right? They've all become Warriors fans in the last 2 years. Let's take that as a given. Don't you think that if the Kings were worth a damn, they'd jump right back
over? And they did the same thing at Oracle.
All right.
They did the same thing at Oracle in the early 2000s when we called it Arco West.
So I'm let's get a damn winning team in here.
I agree with you. We're on the same page. Can't control that. What we can control is the doling out of tickets to the Benedict Arnolds of the world. You know, it's like a civil war here, okay? And you got split households, just like those split hats with Giants on one side and A's on the other, Niner Raider fans.
Look at the Warriors fan on the TV right
like
now,
when I
Dave.
Watch,
are you twitching?
It's like when I watch the Comcast Sportsnet promos during Kings games, and it's always like, home of the Sharks, Warriors, Raiders, Niners,
Kings.
That's it's like they did this thing where they're decorating a tree and they're putting ornaments. It's like a little animation, and they're putting ornaments, and they have like a reindeer that's a San Jose shark, and Santa Claus has a warrior shirt on, all this stuff. And like the king was like the little Pac-Man ornament from the 80s that was on like the bottom right of the tree.
You know, some people spend their time like lobbying for, you know, laws against child prostitution and human trafficking. And Dave is the type of guy that spends his time lobbying to get Warriors fans thrown out of buildings. I mean, it's really important work that he's doing. Yeah, really important work.
You bring out like those ads and all those teams. They're like, they're cookie cutter, right? Like they're literally the exact same ads for the most part where, you know, your 24/7 coverage of XYZ team, and you hear things like, you know, Warriors, Niners, Giants, Raiders. And then it's like, even though they're the exact same ads, when I see the ones with the Kings, I'm always just like, oh, that's so cute.
Right. Like they got a little spot.
Oh, we're
a little
on TV.
Tight spot. No, I want better placement on the CSN commercials. When they're doing the big CSN Sports Central.
They remembered us.
Lead with the Kings for once. Even if they're not good.
It's good. It's coming back around, dude. These things are cyclical.
No, they're not. Not for us.
Not for Kings fans.
No.
Dang it.
There's people that are in what? Seventh grade. There's kids in junior high right now that don't know what a playoff team is if they're Kings fans. That's how long it's been.
Dude, there's a 30-year-old sitting right here that doesn't even really know what a playoff team is.
Yeah.
I think we've all learned a powerful lesson today, and that is Katie's damn turncoat.
Turncoat. Yeah.
All right.
Nice.
I'm a horrible
turncoat.
You know, the Grand Napier one time, this is a true story, would not allow a guy into his house to fix his TV or his plumbing or some service person. A guy was wearing a Red Sox hat. They said, well, you know, hey, better change that hat. His kid would not be allowed.
You know what? Grant's got to color his hair, and I don't. So maybe
that
I don't know
unfounded
that that's true.
And
that's
not true. That's how rumors get started.
That is not true. Yeah. That is natural.
All I'm saying is pick the things that stress you out, man.
Well, there's a lot of things that stress me out, though. This is one of them. I pick important stuff too. I care.
About what?
Like the
Amazon box is on your steps.
Thank
when you. Get
you.
Home?
Yes, my big umbrella that was blown over. I care about the new taxes going on cigarettes in April. That's a huge deal. I don't know, man.
It's going to happen, and you will lie.
The fact that there's a marriage out there with a Kings fan and a Warriors fan. Now, here's the thing. If you're both, like, diehard fans from the beginning, I understand that. But if, like, well, like you said.
That just shows me anything is possible.
But what Nate had said is that, or maybe it was you that said that the wife had basically become a fan of the Warriors when Klay Thompson lit up the Kings. That was like a year ago. So it's not like
2 years ago, wasn't it?
2 years ago. So her fandom has to lose out
but
to
maybe,
the other guys.
Maybe Warrior fan converted to Kings fan when Omri Caspi lit up Steph.
Yeah, that happened.
That could have happened.
You never know, Dave.
Matt, you've been sitting there half asleep most of the show. What? But I know you're listening. Where do you come down on this?
I have absolutely no problem with her friend wearing a Warriors jersey to the game.
Why?
Because she's coming as a fan. I mean, I point to the Kings and Lakers game the other night, or like at the beginning of the season, and the Lakers fans took over the building. It sucked as a Kings fan seeing all the Laker fans in the building, but that's prerogative as a Laker fan, and it's a good environment. I think players would rather play in front of an opposing fan than an empty seat.
Yep, you're right.
Where are all the Kings fans at?
They're
selling their tickets because they're smart.
Well, either way, the ticket is sold.
916.
They're paying for concessions.
You can't wear opposing team colors in the Kings section. It's like common sense. She wants to wear Warriors gear, buy the damn tickets.
I dig the soccer crowd idea, though.
Nate gets credit for bringing that up, though. He gets the
text
point.
Line. I can't take
was that.
Was that
the text line? Mm-hmm. Oh, good for him, then.
Put him in the upper bowl, like, all the way at the top.
I find it's like, the more millennially you are, the more you're just like, it's just
millennially.
Yeah, he's snotty millennials. It's just a jersey.
Oh, my God. You're such an
old
man.
I don't know sports struggle. I know, right? I don't know real sports struggle. You know, wear your jersey.
No, I know real struggle after 3 hours of this show.
All right, well, you still have a few days to change your mind, Katie. That's it.
I feel like Dave's going to show up knocking on my door at like 2 a.m. and being like, I can't let it happen.
Hey, who knows?
Can't
man.
Give the tickets away. No.
Maybe someone will lose some laundry. Who knows where this is.
That's what you got to do. Damn blue and yellow.
No. Is it? Did we throw out the box that it came in?
Jim Rome.
That would be horrible.
Is next. The lowdown noon to three. Don't forget, Kings and Heat tonight. Go Kings. Get that second game in a row. Put in your pocket and extend that lead in the playoffs. How about that? Playoff seating. They're number eight. They're in right now if the season ended today, and we're all happy about it. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your broadcast day right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.